Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one day Jesus is walking along the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two fishermen, brothers, casting their nets into the water. Jesus says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And at once, Peter and Andrew leave their nets and follow Jesus. Going a little further, Jesus sees two more fishermen, also brothers, sitting in a boat mending their nets. He calls them too, and they, James and John, also leave their nets and their boat behind. They join Peter and Andrew as they set out following Jesus, and they never look back. This morning, I'd like for us to look back to Jesus' call of those first disciples to consider what exactly it was that he was calling them to, and to see how that relates to Jesus' call to us as his disciples today. Jesus' call to the fishermen that day included two parts, an invitation and a promise. He began with the gracious invitation to come and follow him. With those words, Jesus was letting those men know, assuring them that wherever he was going to be, he wanted them to be also. That he wanted them to be living their lives in fellowship with him. He wanted them to witness all the wonders he would be doing. He wanted them to hear all that he would be teaching. As Jesus set out to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, he wanted to make sure they heard that good news and knew that that kingdom was for them. Of all the good things that he had planned, Jesus didn't want these men to miss a thing. And not only did he want them to be there for it, he wanted them to be a part of it. He wanted them involved in this, taking it all in, not only going where he went, but following him in faith and learning to walk in his ways. The Lord wanted these fishermen to be his trusted disciples. Who would have ever imagined such great things for these men? It was a remarkable invitation, and it also came with a remarkable promise. First, even in Jesus' invitation to come and follow him, he was in fact then also promising Peter, Andrew, James, and John that he would be there with them, leading them, that he would be teaching them, guiding them, that he would essentially be their shepherd. And he also made them a more specific promise. "Follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Not only would he bless them by his word, but he would also then work through them to bring those same blessings to others. Having heard his word themselves, they would then share that word, teaching others all that Jesus had taught them. Having witnessed what Jesus had done, they would then be his witnesses before the world. Having freely received, they would freely give. In this way, Jesus, who had first graciously called these men and drawn them to himself, would also send his gospel out through them and call all people to himself. Starting with these four fishermen, the net of the gospel would be cast out over all creation, as Jesus would work through his disciples to make disciples of all nations. That was Jesus' plan for how he would bring the gospel to the world. That day at the Sea of Galilee, as people saw Jesus call those four fishermen to leave their nets behind and come follow him, whoever would have guessed what extraordinary things would eventually come from that? Who among them would have guessed that people would be still talking about those four fishermen walking away with that man 2,000 years later? As we look back now, we can't help but think what a great blessing it must have been for those four men that day to be called by Jesus himself, to then be taught and guided by him, to then serve as the Lord's instrument for bringing his blessings to others throughout the world. And all of that without having done anything to deserve any of it. You're sitting there one day, a fisherman like any other, a sinner like any other, and the Lord comes to you personally, calls you to himself, and makes all these incredible promises about what he will be doing for you and through you to change not only your life, but the course of the world. What a tremendous blessing that must have been for those four men. All that is certainly true. Just as it is also true that we today are no less blessed by the Lord than those first disciples were. For the Lord, who did great things for them and through them, has also done great things for us, just as he did for them. Now, it's true that we haven't seen and heard the Lord in the same way that those first disciples did. But he has indeed come to us personally, and he has called us to himself. He called you by his word. He came to you and drew you to himself in the waters of holy baptism. He has called you by name, and you are his. And having called you into this new relationship with him, he now abides with you and continues to speak to you in his holy word. There he shows you all the wonders that he has done. There he teaches you, just as he taught the other disciples before you. There he proclaims to you the good news of the kingdom of God, because that good news is for you. And he doesn't want you to miss a thing in all the blessings he has prepared for you in that kingdom. And so the Lord speaks his word not only into your ears, but into your heart, so that with his word in your heart, you can now follow him in faith, just as Peter, Andrew, James, and John did. Jesus does all of that for you so that you, like them, can know all the blessings of being his disciples. It is a remarkable blessing to be his disciple, and that blessing comes with remarkable promises, just as it did for those first disciples. First, in calling you to be his disciple, to come and follow him in faith, Jesus was also promising that he would be with you and guide you, that he would be there giving you his words of eternal life, and that he would never leave you or forsake you, that he would be your good shepherd, whom you can always count on. And together with his great promises of all that he will do for you, the Lord also makes the remarkable promise that he will also send blessings to others through you, much like he did with his first disciples. In the case of the four fishermen who we heard about in our gospel reading, they were called by the Lord to leave their nets behind and follow Jesus with the promise that he would then make them fishers of men, that he would use them as a channel for blessing by sending his gospel out through them to others. Some today receive a similar call. For example, when I was at the seminary, I knew a physician who left his stethoscope behind, an attorney who left his law books behind, a high school teacher who left his classroom behind, a forest ranger who left the park behind, all so that Jesus could make them fishers of men, ministers of the gospel, as he had earlier done for Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Most people, though, will not be called to leave their homes and careers to follow Jesus. Instead, rather than leaving their nets behind, most people will be called to follow Jesus even as they tend to their nets. That is, they will be called to live as disciples of Jesus wherever you might be and whatever your vocation might be. As you do so, the Lord will be guiding and caring for you as his disciple whom he loves, wherever you are. And he will also be working through you to bless and care for others whom he also loves, wherever you are and whatever your vocation. Sometimes the Lord works through us to bring spiritual blessings to others. He does that, for example, through such things as a parent or grandparent teaching a child Bible stories, a friend telling a friend about Jesus, maybe inviting them to church or Bible study, a choir member singing or ringing God's praises so that those praises can then continue ringing out in people's hearts and minds. And the Lord also works through us to bring his blessings to others in countless other ways, as he works through us to care not only for people's spiritual needs, but for all their other needs as well. And so, for example, the Lord works through fathers and mothers to provide food, shelter, and love for their children. The Lord works through doctors, nurses, and therapists to care for people's health. The Lord works through contractors and carpenters provide and maintain homes for people. He works through each of us, wherever he has called us, with all the unique abilities and opportunities he has given us, to be his instruments for caring for one another, to be his channels through whom he sends his blessings to others. That is God's plan for how he sends both his gospel and his active, loving care to people throughout the world today. By working through ordinary people like us, ordinary sinners like us, just as he worked through those fishermen turned fishers of men before us. We are usually not aware of most of the ways that the Lord does all this, either the ways that he takes care of it for us or the ways that he works through us to care for others. But today we take time to give thanks to the Lord for all of this, for the great undeserved blessing of being his disciples by God's grace alone, and for all the ways he has worked to bless us through each other and countless others, including the four fishermen we read about this morning, through whom the word went out that eventually made its way to us. That brings me to one final point for our consideration of those early disciples and of discipleship more broadly. No discussion of those first disciples would be complete without acknowledging what their faithful discipleship cost them. Jesus let those disciples know early on that following him would not be an easy path to walk. In fact, he told them that following him would mean taking up their crosses daily to follow him. After all, as Jesus explained to them, a world that rejected him could not be expected to embrace those who would faithfully follow him. And so those first disciples did indeed experience both real highs and real lows as they followed Jesus. They had the joy of seeing Christ heal the sick, give sight to the blind, and preach good news to the poor. And they had the pain of seeing Christ rejected by so many whom he loved and had come to save. They had the joy of seeing lives transformed by Jesus' mercy and grace. And they had the sorrow of seeing Jesus' life taken. They had the grief of mourning the death of their friend and Lord, unjustly crucified on the cross of Calvary. And then they had the inexpressible joy of seeing their risen Lord and Savior giving them the good news that he had conquered sin, death, and the devil for them and for all people, and that he was going to send that good news out to the world through them, so that they would be casting the net of the gospel out into the world as his fishers of men. As followers of Jesus, you too can expect to experience both joys and sorrows in following him. There will be lows as seeking to be faithful to the Lord and his word sometimes does make life more difficult in a world that rejects him and his word. But there will also be highs along the way. The peace of knowing that you are forgiven. The joy of knowing that you have God's full love and approval. The fellowship that you share now with brothers and sisters in Christ who love you, encourage you, and pray for you. And we also have Jesus' promise of much greater highs to come. For although, as he told us, we will each have crosses to bear in this life, by his cross, Jesus has opened for us the door to everlasting life. And you can be assured that as you walk with Christ through this life and into the next, anything you might have to give up along the way is far, far exceeded by what you have gained in Christ. Of those first disciples we heard about today, three of the four, Peter, Andrew, and James, were ultimately killed for their faithfulness to Christ. Peter and Andrew by crucifixion, James by a sword. And the fourth, John, was also beaten, imprisoned, and sent into exile for Christ. But what they had in Christ, they would not trade for anything, not even their life. And now their cross-bearing is done forever because of the cross that Jesus bore for them. An everlasting life and eternal joys at God's right hand are theirs now and will be theirs eternally. And because of Christ and what he did for them and for us, we can look forward to joining them there, where we will be able to thank them for the gospel that they passed down to us as God's fishers of men, and where we will join them and all the company of heaven in praising our great God for all of this. And to think that all of that began with Jesus just walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee one day and calling a few fishermen to come and follow him. What a great God we have. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.